Welcome to this week's episode of Mountain Hawk Talk. I'm your host, Jenna Odell, a senior journalism major on the women's rowing team. And joining me today are sophomore Matt Quinn and junior Will Karanchi from Lehigh Men's Golf. Thanks for coming on and welcome to the show. So how are you guys today?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been up since 5 a.m.
Wow.
I know. I finished my first cup of coffee and now I want another.
Why so early?
We had practice. All right. So just jumping right in, what's your why for Lehigh? Like, why did you choose to come here in the first place?
For me, it was just mainly the combination of athletics and academics, looking for a great school, and the golf is just a bonus for me. So
yeah.
Recruiting was a little weird during COVID, but
of course.
I felt wanted here, and here I am.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, similar for me. I think my recruiting was a little different than most. So my cousin Owen actually went here, and he played golf here as well. So he had big influence on why I chose Lehigh. And I mean, like Will said, it's like a great school. We're both finance, and like I think the alumni connection is so strong too. So that's like a huge thing for me. It's been great on that front. And then like the team as well, like right when I visited, I just could tell that everyone was so close and like had such a great relationship. So that kind of dragged me here as well.
Ah, finance bros.
Yeah, we're so finance.
You're so finance. And so how did you kind of discover golf? I mean, like, what was that like to kind of pick it up? Just because, like, if you did start at a younger age, I feel like golf is kind of like a niche sport to kind of get into when you're younger. Mm-hmm. But, how did you kind of start playing golf?
Yeah, I mean, I played, like, everything growing up.
Yeah.
But my family is just a huge family of golfers. Like, my dad's one of seven, and there was five boys. They all played college golf.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think
so it was like I a lineage.
Introduced to it early on, and I didn't like I played baseball really seriously up until high school, and then COVID kind of ended that for me, and I was like, all right, let's just focus on golf. And I think high school is when I really started to take it serious and like play tournaments and start thinking about wanting to play in college.
Pretty similar for me. I played all kinds of sports growing up, just loved being outside and playing. And I've been playing golf for as long as I can remember. My dad got me into the game super young. His father was a teaching pro in Cleveland. But golf was always what I was best at.
Yeah.
And like Matt, slowly started dropping sports until I got to high school and then really started to focus on golf, play more competitively, and wanted to be recruited.
Yeah. What other sports did you play? You look like a baseball guy, Matt.
Thanks. I don't know if I should take that as a compliment.
It's a compliment. Like I just kind of figured that like you'd either you'd be baseball. I thought either baseball or like lacrosse or something.
Yeah, I was a huge baseball player growing up. Like I played doubleheader, like four games every weekend in middle school, going to high school, and then kind of just I don't know. It was too much.
You were like golf.
I played soccer, baseball, basketball, even a little volleyball.
Wow. All right. That's so funny. No, my sister was more of the person that did like every sport known to man. Like she literally did like swimming, track. I think she did volleyball, maybe soccer, whatever. But I just did soccer and then I ended up getting injured and then I started rowing. But I was talking about it earlier. My dad hated running so much. And it got to the point where he was like, I just didn't want to do not like a contact sport just because like the injury, like I just couldn't deal with injuries at the time. And like getting another concussion, I was out of school for like 3 months.
Jeez.
So I was like, I just can't do that again. And my dad was like, well, you can either do track or rowing. I was like, rowing. Because I like, oh no, absolutely not. We're not running for fun.
Yeah.
So golf is a lot different than other sports just because I mean, it's, like, silent most of the time. And, I mean, sports, like, you don't have, like, a cheer squad for you, basically. And so how does it feel, like, to be competing in silence and not with, like, tons of people, like, cheering you on?
For me, it's just kind of normal at this point. Like, we love having support at our tournament. We have one tournament at home a year, and some people come out and watch, and it's great to have that support. But it feels very normal to have, like, it just be silent, and it's more weird when you do have support because normally it's not the case. But I think that sort of silence just really makes it so it just seems so individual, and you have all these thoughts going through your head, and it could literally be anything. Playing golf is just like mental warfare out there with yourself.
Pretty much, yeah.
So the silence just adds an element to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're just, like Will said, we're so used to it by now, and it's like almost normal. But I think something we've been working on a lot this year especially is like the mental side of things, because like you're out there by yourself, and like, yeah, coach is with us as much as he can, but there's usually five other guys playing that he's has to get around to. So a lot of the time we're by ourselves, so it's kind of like figuring out how to balance the like competitive side and locking in, but also like we're out there for, it's a 5 hour round, like you don't want to be locked in for that whole time. So it's like, for me, I've really tried to figure out how to best balance like when to focus and then when to like kind of fall out of it to conserve my energy the best too.
5 hours.
Yeah, it's
sometimes it's
even longer sometimes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My god. Imagining being out on the water for 5 hours.
See, yeah. It's not that a little physically demanding though. There's days where it's 11 hours if we're playing 36 in one day, where we'll get to the course at 7 a.m. and be there until like 7 p.m.
That's actually insane.
Yeah, it's
well, I'm just even imagining like me being out on the water, like, because I feel like golf and rowing have like a similar aspect in the sense of like when we're at the start line, like there isn't anyone there, like you don't have any people cheering you on, like mm-hmm. once you get to a certain point and you have spectators, then you hear the cowbells and all like the people screaming whatever, but it's really just like you, your brain, and like your coxswain sometimes, like depending on what's going on. But
question for you, like for golf, like the things, the first tee jitters, mm-hmm. is that like you said there's no one watching you at the start line rowing. Golf, like that's when you have more eyes on you is at the start. Do you get like jitters at the when you're starting, or is it more so come at the end?
I get really nervous at the start, just because I feel like in some races we have like something to prove, I guess, and there's also the races are really short in that sense. It's kind of the opposite of, I mean, max you're racing for 7 minutes on the water, like that's probably the longest it'll take. And if you're like at Patriots, like it's, you maybe have two races, and like that race like kind of determines where you go, whether it be a petite final or the grand final. And so yeah, I feel like at the start I'm definitely more nervous than like you at like if whether it be like the middle or closer to the end, because like you kind of know the outcome at that point, but like when you start, like it's anyone's game.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but it's crazy. It's crazy.
Is that 7 minutes? Like, are you guys going like all out the whole time?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. No, I'm like, honestly, I'm kind of nervous even about tomorrow. Like, it's my first. Oh, it's my first last race. I'm kind of nervous about tomorrow just because like we haven't done like just a straight 2K in a while. So yeah, it, like, is that idea of like people like being there but not cheering, is that something that you kind of prefer now? And like, when you're kind of like in your zone, like, do you think that having people like kind of like not necessarily chirping, but like kind of being there and like talking and like having things being said, do you think that would like get in your head, or like where do you think that would put you, like what do you think that would do to your like mindset?
I think having as much support as you can is just, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think, like Matt was talking about earlier, how can you stay locked in but also zone out when you want to zone out?
Yeah.
Because it's a long day. You don't want to be locked in at all times. So
right.
Having people there is just kind of, that's a just a natural way for you to kind of get out of the zone when you don't want to be thinking about golf.
Yeah. Like, it's a nice little break in the like long day.
Yeah. Like most of our time is just walking, and who knows what the thoughts are going through your head at that point. But that's why it's nice when you have a coach walking with you, because they can just be your caddy and talk about stuff that's not golf. And having people you know there, familiar faces, is kind of the same aspect there. So it's nice having a crowd, unless they're just like chirping you then. So maybe they'll get in your head. But I think of like some of the best rounds I've had is when like I'm just playing with my friends and just we're just not really thinking that much about golf. I'm just hitting the ball. It's just coming to my instincts rather than a million thoughts going through my head and that sort of thing.
Do you have like a cart at all, or do you have to walk the whole thing?
We rarely get a cart. Yeah. It's like our tournament this weekend. We'll actually, it'll be 36 holes, so it'll be like that 10-hour, 11-hour day.
Oh God!
But we will have a cart.
Yes.
So that
you
is,
can
that's
sit. Yeah. You can literally sit. Oh, that's so nice.
And
oh my gosh.
You get to ride with your teammate because they'll do foursomes, which is normally three. So I'm gonna cart with Jahan, my teammate. So that's like,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun
time. And one of our tournaments in the fall, it was 36 holes the first day, and we had a cart, and it was like terrible weather. But we were, unfortunately, we weren't riding with our teammates. We were riding with like a kid on another team, and I just got stuck with like the worst kid for 11 hours.
Oh my god! Yeah, was he just like annoying or like what?
Yeah, I don't. Like he was just like. At the end of the round, it was like raining and like it was really slippery. And he hit his on one hole, he hit his ball like right, and he like we like took the cart down this hill, and the grass was so wet that the car like spun out, and we like literally went backwards into a tree. Like we could,
you crashed. So he was crashed the car.
He was driving.
Oh, so it's not
yeah.
Okay.
It was
you're like
fault,
not me, not me, not
yeah,
me.
I was like close to just jumping out of the cart, but I like. I don't know. I just didn't know what to do.
For the record.
Yeah, it was not me.
Matt has a clean driving record. That's, oh my gosh, that's so funny. So I work at a country club over the summer, and I'm like, I've been kind of getting more into golf and like I'm understanding it just from like watching it. But I remember I was, there was a member that is like really well known. And he needed to leave the, like, they're just playing for fun, but he needed to leave early to, like, go to a wedding or something. So he needed to get to the clubhouse. And I was on, like, a little, like, beverage station at the time. And it was, like, maybe my third day. And he was like, oh, can you drive me back? And I was like, sure. And the way, like, the trail that goes back to the clubhouse is really, really bumpy. And they gave me the most jank and most horrible cart that they had. Like,
that's
they were
hilarious.
Like, this is, like, I like it was broken. It was, like, always out of gas. And it was just, like, I yeah. So they said, here, take this one. And they didn't know that, like, Mr. Carr, his name was, that he was going to need a ride back. And so he gets in the cart, and I'm, like, driving. And I kid you not, I think he almost fell out like 12 times. And it was because of my driving. Like my driving abilities were so bad on like it oh my gosh, it was so embarrassing. But I like didn't know that he was like that important. So I was like just like talking to him whatever and he's like holding on to the side like
that's hilarious.
Regardless. So, what has golf taught you about being an athlete, especially since it is more like unique on like the unique side of like in the sports world, like it's not like your traditional like you have people in the stands like but what is it what have you kind of learned from being a golfer?
Yeah, I think like we've mentioned it's just so mental. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helped like all of us on the team just really figure out how like to best like what best works for us. And mm-hmm. just like I think everyone says it, like golf is so much like life. Like throughout the round, you're going to hit a lot of good shots, but you're also going to hit a lot of bad shots. But even after you hit the bad shots, it's like you have to go and find it and hit it again. Like you have to figure out how to deal with that adversity. And it's something that I think has just taught me so much, like in all aspects of my life, just kind of like figuring out how best to go about that and like mentally like figure out what works best for me. And it's just I've been able to tie that into like school when school's not going well, like figure it out or like literally anything else in my life. It's just, it's like taught me and all of us so much. So it's awesome.
Wholesome.
I'll start off by saying golfers are athletes.
Yep. Yeah, no, 100%.
Had to get that out there.
100% agreed in full.
But I think there's a lot of similarities between golf and other sports. Like in the winter, I love just going around and shooting a basketball because it's like, it's the same thing. You got to just get the ball in the hole somehow. It doesn't really matter how. And in golf, there's so many ways to do it that sometimes you start to overthink it. And if I'm going to shoot a basketball, like I feel like I don't do that. I get to visualize it a little better. So I think that helps. But like, yeah, Matt said it well. Like golf is just a metaphor for life. I wrote my college essay on that. There's a, I think it's Bobby Jones, the quote. He said, like, golf is like life because you get rewarded for bad shots sometimes, and sometimes you get a good shot and you don't get rewarded. So
yeah,
it's a lot like life in that way.
Oh, yeah. Golfers are athletes too.
Yeah, we get after it in the basketball gym in the winters.
Oh,
it gets
competitive.
Oh, yeah. Up there.
And so what are you hoping to accomplish this season?
Individually, I just want to be competitive, I would say. I don't like setting too many result-based goals, but just being competitive in tournaments, and I want to get in contention a couple times, and especially at the Patriot League Championship, that's just what all of our hard work comes down to there. So I also want to just be able to simplify things for myself and just go out there with a pretty clear mind and just be able to leave it up to my instincts rather than having, like I said, a million thoughts just going through my head. And it's not life or death out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar to Will, I think my goals are more on the mental side. I think, like, this fall I didn't play great, and I think it was more because I was, like, mentally weak, not really necessarily because of my golf game. And I think, like, this off season I worked on it, like, pretty hard. And so far, like, mentally I've been pretty good this season, just, like, not getting too high or too low, staying pretty level. And I think it's helped me, and I've started to play better recently. So I think just going to the rest of the season, continuing to work on that, and hopefully I'll see the improvement in my game. And then I think as a team, obviously, we want to go to Patriot Leagues at the end of April and come out with a trophy like they experienced.
Oh,
Will experienced it when he was a freshman, but I wasn't here yet, so I'd love to have that experience too. Oh,
that's so awesome. Yeah. So when you say that you're working on, like, your mental game and, like, your mindset, like, what are you meaning, like, if you have, like, a so-called bad shot, like, just remaining, like, calm and level and that type of thing? Or, like, what do you mean by...
I think that, but also just, like, managing expectations going into the round, like, not being so outcome-focused and just more staying in the present and focusing on, like, each shot that I'm going to hit. And not, even if, like, sometimes when I'm playing well, I, like, get into this state of mind where it's, like, I think of, like, oh, like, this could be sick, this could be my best round ever, and then it's, like, I make a couple bogeys, and it's, like, well, there goes that. And that's just, like, kind of just stay present, even if I'm playing poorly, just... You know, like, it's all right, I can make a couple birdies, I can play fine. And then, I've worked a lot with our sports psychologist, Dan, over the winter. And he works with our team as well. And he's awesome. He's just helps all of us so much. So it's been great.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. I am, a huge advocate of just, like, sports psychology and, like, that type of thing. Because my freshman year in rowing, there's a thing called seat racing. And it's basically where you have... two lineups, and you just switch one person from each lineup, and you see who makes which boat go faster. And for me, that was really difficult to, like, I don't know, like, manage, and it was very stressful, and it was, I would find myself performing better when I wasn't, like, getting seat raced, and then when it was, like, in the moment, pressure's on, like, I would just flop. And my coach told me, he was like, I'm taking you out of the first varsity eight, and I'm going to put you in the second varsity eight, and I'm going to see, like I want you to work with, like, a psychologist to kind of work on, like, your mental game. And at the end of the season, like, working with that that therapist and, like, going through that, I was 10 times the athlete that I was beforehand. I just remember my coach, like, pulled three girls aside, me included, and he was like, every day is going to be a seat race, just letting you know. And I remember there was one day on the water, he we like had finished like a swing row, and he was like, all right, it was maybe 2 weeks, week and a half before Patriots. And he goes, okay, like this is the Patriots lineup. He was like, Jenna did her job. I mean, just like he completely changed my mental game just by telling me like to go see a sports psychologist.
Yeah, it's crazy how like much the mind can do, even if like we don't realize it.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it really is. And so what is your prep for a tournament kind of like pregame ritual type of thing? Like what, how do you go into a tournament like feeling ready to get an eagle? Is that what it is?
Eagles are good. We like eagles. It definitely depends on the tournaments. Every course is so different and you prepare differently for each one.
Right.
But it's also so personal at the same time. Like everybody does different things to prepare. But like I said, we're going to North Carolina this weekend. So I'm already thinking about the shots that I'll have on that course and just trying to go to the driving range and hit those shots, imagine those shots before I even get there.
Right.
But at the same time, Patriot League's at Bucknell, and that golf course is way shorter, so it's like a completely different game. Our coach compared our home course to Bucknell's home course yesterday as like bowling and tennis. It's that different. But as far as like before getting to the course, it's, I don't really have anything specific I do that's crazy. I just go to, I'll try to putt first and do that for 10 minutes. I don't really do anything structured, try to get the speed of the greens down, and then I'll go to the range and just go through a warm up, trying to get loose. I'm not really thinking about anything when I'm warming up. I'm just trying to get my body loose.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think we also, the day before every tournament, we play a practice round, like everyone on the course. And I think that those are like so important because coach is with us. And then like after those rounds, we kind of go through it and talk about like important shots and like shots that we might have to make a decision on. So he's always there to like help us with those. But I think, like, personally for me, I don't really have any, like, superstitions or, like, things I do, like, every round.
That was my next, like, follow-up.
Yeah, I don't really have any of those. Luckily, I'm kind of happy I don't. But
I used to have, like, crazy superstitions in high school, and they've kind of all fallen away, and I'm totally okay with that. They're kind of hard to keep up with.
I know, they are. Like, I know some people that have some crazy ones, like, I don't even know. Just, like, some things that people do are crazy. Just,
like, after a while, like, I just, like, could not keep up with it. Like, I had to sleep on a certain way. Yeah. I was like, okay, like, this is too much. Like, this is getting too much. What is a favorite tournament or, like, a moment that you've had?
I think my most memorable tournament that I've had at Lehigh actually is the first tournament that I ever played at Lehigh my freshman year. I just remember being, like, so nervous going into that round. It was at Bethpage. Will was there. And I was just, like, pretty nervous, and it was, like, a 36-hole day. It was going to be a long day, and I just, like, remember talking to my cousin, who I mentioned earlier, and he was just, like, giving me some advice. He was like, it's a long day. Like, you have so many chances to hit good shots. Like, and I kind of just told myself, like, relax. Like, you're prepared. Like, you'll do good. And then I remember I played both of the first two rounds. I shot, like, the first round I shot even par, which is, like, not the best round I've had at Lehigh, but, like, one of the best. And then the second round, I also played pretty well. So it's just, like, relieving. And I kind of proved to myself that, like, I should be here. And it was, like, just nice to have that feeling.
Yeah, rookie season.
I'm stuck between two rounds from last year that have been super memorable. The first one was at our home tournament. It was the second round. I was with the A team, and we just played horribly the first day. It was just a nightmare, and we were towards the back end of the field, and we're like, we're better than this. Like, we're going to go out there and light it up, and that's pretty much what we did. The conditions played in our favor. It was just an absolute, just the wind was absolutely gusting, and it was crazy out there, but we pulled it together and ended up coming back and winning the whole thing.
Wow.
Which was super cool. And I had like two hole outs that round. It was just, it was one of the weirder rounds of golf I've ever played.
I love a comeback story.
So that's the big comeback that I've had. But then also last spring I had a round at Lafayette's tournament where I had a hole in one.
okay, Eagle.
Yeah.
That's like the old, literally at the, so at the country club, there was this one guy who got an Eagle, or an Eagle, I'm saying it like I know so much about golf. He got a hole in one, like at the station I was at, and it like, woo, and I was like, did that go in? And he like came over and he was like, did you see that? And I was like, yeah, actually I did. And then the same guy, like a week later, did the same thing.
No way.
And I was there again. He was like, you need to be here every
That's
day.
Crazy.
So now I'm like, every time he sees me, he's like, oh, it's my lucky charm. And I was like, yes. Anyways,
that's
crazy, though.
You've seen more hole-in-ones than I have in person.
Yeah.
Mine's the
I've
only
seen,
one I've ever seen.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen three.
What?
Jeez.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I've seen three. The things that happen.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, pretty awesome. What's the toughest course you've played?
In
your life.
Oh, in my life. I mean, either way, probably just Bethpage Black. We had our final round of St. John's tournament Matt was talking about there this year. And it's known for being one of the hardest courses in the world. And
oh, gee.
They have the Ryder Cup this year. Wow, they have the Ryder Cup this year there. And it's just known for being super hard. And yeah, that course got the better of me. it's so hard.
Yeah, man.
I think for me, it was a tournament that I played this summer in Michigan. The course was very long. The rough was so hard. Like, basically, if you missed fairway and hit it in the rough, you were just, like, hitting a wedge as hard as you can out back into the fairway. Like, you couldn't even really go for the green most times. And yeah, that was it was probably like the biggest tournament I've ever played in too. So that was just like it was like really,
just a double whammy, really.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience though. I had one of my best friends on caddying for me.
And, that's got to be fun.
My dad was out there too, so yeah, we had a great time.
That's really fun. Yeah, at this golf course I work at, they have it's like the country club that I work at is kind of like it's a big deal in Rochester.
What is it?
It's called Rondacoit Country Club. Yeah. It's like it was the country club that was like. It's the back of it is like shared with the country club that held the PGA.
Oak Hill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I literally am on Oak Hill's, I'm on their like land.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Where I work. And like a lot of the members that go to Oak Hill will come to Rondacoit. And they have like this huge tournament and. Yeah, like a bunch of people from like Barstool come.
Oh no!
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. That was I've like it's so cool to like work during like big tournaments because then you get to like see people and like I know that there's like a different club for like different like I don't know
yardages.
Situations yardage whatever. So what is your like go-to club to pick?
Dude, mine's just like. Mine's probably my 60-degree wedge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chipping a lot. And, that club, I've hit so many good shots with it, and I feel so good with it in my hands. Like, a lot of it's just look and feel, too, of a golf club. It sounds really weird, but that club, like, just I feel really good with it no matter where I am, and I know I can hit any shot with it, and it rarely lets me down.
Wow.
60-degree.
Yeah, I think... My favorite club, this is like a weird one, is my pitching wedge.
I love a pitching
wedge.
Yeah,
like Will said, I think it's just like I just have a lot of confidence with it. And I feel like I can like always hit a good shot. Like yesterday, I hit like a great shot with it. But I know like another kid on our team, that's like his actually least favorite club. And he recently just got a new one because he literally like couldn't hit it. And just would like always hit terrible shots.
Oh
so
my
it's,
God.
Yeah,
so it really just depends
it's kind
on
of funny,
the person.
Yeah, just every person is like.
Wow.
It has different opinions on that question.
But. Wow. Well, when I played a round of golf, I don't remember which club I used, but it was it was a good club for sure.
Nice.
And it was like one of those things though where like the people I was playing with, it was like an event for like some of the employees and like the members got to like choose which employee they wanted to take. So I got like these cute little couples and we were all playing golf. It was like me and these like two older couples. And I was like, this is awesome. And they were like teaching me how to play golf. And it was just awesome. And they were like, here, use this one. Then if that one was bad, they're like, ooh, don't use that one. Use this one. And then they just like kept giving me different clubs. And I was like, oh, God. It was fun, but it was just funny.
Moral of the story, it's always the club's fault, right?
Yeah, always. Yeah. Definitely not me, especially when like it goes into like the woods and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
Happens.
Nope. Yeah. This is kind of now we're getting into more of like the fun questions. If you could eat dinner with any golf player, dead or alive, who would it be? I know you got to think about it. I'm asking the tough questions here, guys.
I want to say Tiger Woods, but I'm not going to because I feel like that's just kind of a boring answer.
Yeah. It's a cop out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say Colin Morikawa.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he's a golfer on tour right now. I think I just love his game. Like, he doesn't hit it that far, especially, like, for nowadays, guys are hitting it so far. And he, like, kind of just figures out his way to get around the course. Like, he has a great short game. Like, he always, like, chips it close. I feel like he's also just a cool guy. So, like, spending time with him would be enjoyable.
Well,
I'm still, like, thinking about mine.
It's okay. You can take your time to think. I can just talk about.
I can give some other options that I would say.
he'll just lift. Minwoo
Lee is really cool. I think Jordan Spieth would be cool. He's a crazy golfer. Rory.
Oh, I know Rory.
Nah, I'm not going Rory.
No, I'm not going Rory either. But he's just famous. So.
Just an option.
Yeah.
I do know Rory. I know that name. I don't know his last name, but I know his name.
I'd probably say Justin Thomas. I feel like he's just got a good personality. He's entertaining. But I feel like a lot of golfers that I went through in my mind would just be, like, talking my ear off the whole time and wouldn't want to listen to me talk. But I feel like JT would be more personable and...
Okay, JT. You've already had dinner with him.
Yeah, they're already boys.
But, no, I think he would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my final question for you guys, what's a fun fact about you?
Fun fact about me is that recently I've been learning how to play guitar.
Oh.
Yeah. I got a guitar for Christmas and because it's something that I've like always wanted to do. And I just was like, it's too hard. I'm never going to learn.
But in like, the summer, you're going to be like strumming around the campfire.
It's I like love country music. So I feel like it's like. Trying to learn those songs has been, like, really fun. It's just, like...
Can you sing?
No. I can sing. I'm just not good.
So you're going to serenade us, essentially, is what I'm hearing.
I mean, I guess...
Why didn't you bring your guitar?
Yeah, I should have.
You should have known that this question was coming.
He's got some pipes on him.
Yeah, Will's heard me sing.
Really?
Yeah.
When am I going to hear you sing?
Karaoke. We can do some karaoke. Yeah.
Okay, let's do some karaoke. For sure. What's your karaoke song?
The Climb.
Shut up.
Yeah, I like that.
That's such a good one. That's such a good one. And there's some high notes.
Yeah, I don't hit the high notes, but it's just a fun song.
Nah, he does. He's
he tries. He gets there eventually.
Yeah.
Will?
I'd say I speak Italian a little bit. I took 4 years in high school, and I've gotten back into...
Well, you're very Italian.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
like you look Italian and you're Italian.
My dad's 100% Italian.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been getting on the Duolingo lately and
wow.
I want to get back into it, but
would you have guessed that I'm also Italian?
No.
Fun fact, I am. I'm 50% Italian.
Really?
Yeah. My dad is 100% Irish. My mom is 100% Italian. Her maiden name is Piazza.
Oh.
My great grandmother's name is Francesca Bertola.
Okay. Wow.
Very I know. Italian. I know. Proved you guys wrong.
Yeah.
I know. I like, they're all from Sicily. My mom is like, oh my God, it's so annoying. She tans like a goddess. And I'm like,
is she a good cook?
Yes. But what's crazy, she's gluten free.
Really?
I know. Wild.
Does she make gluten-free pasta?
Yes.
Does it taste as good or no?
Like, not really. But, like, I'll take it. And, like, oh, my God, she makes her own meatballs and sauce.
Oh, yeah.
So good. So good.
Have you been to Italy?
No. I want to go. Yeah. That's my dream vacation. Amalfi Coast.
Oh, that is, I went there like right before COVID, and like
it's insane.
We went all over Italy, but that was easily my.
I want that's like part. My dream. It I like beautiful. Think about that so much. Yeah. I'm like, I think I want to do it like right after I graduate. Like I want to I just want to go. Like I have no money, but like let's go.
Why not? Yeah,
like,
why
not? It's fine. I'll take out a loan of some kind from my parents. Please let me go. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, we took a boat over to the island called Capri, and like my favorite restaurant called Capri. Oh, bonus fun fact: I got seasick on the boat ride over. But anyway, it's just that place is just. Nothing like anything I've ever seen. And
it's like not real.
It's probably the favorite place I've been on vacation, destination wise, and there's no golf course there, which says something about it. So.
Will and Matt, thanks again for joining me here on today's episode. I look forward to talking with you again soon. And be sure to like Lehigh Athletics on Facebook and follow Lehigh Sports on Instagram to stay up to date with all your news on the Mountain Hawks.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jenna. Fun.